When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi-de-ho, I'm Uno Clay from Philadelphia, and I support Gen X Grown Up on Patreon. In a world torn apart by angry pundits and ceaselessly acerbic news, the cheerful tone of Gen X Grown Up is always a welcome escape, not to mention endlessly entertaining, and sometimes even informative. If you want to support the show too, click on genxgrownup.com/Patreon and toss them a couple bucks. It's the guaranteed way to gain the respect of your peers and immediate promotions at work.
Not guaranteed in all 50 states. Some employers may see fit to demote you, and your peers will probably find you weird and distasteful. Results may vary. You are warned.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown-up?
Gen X Grown Up is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up.
Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Welcome back, Gen X Grown Up podcast listener, to this episode 114 of the Gen X Grown Up podcast. I am John. Joining me as always is George.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
You know the Mo is here.
Hey, everybody.
We are recording this here at the very end of the year. It's the day before Christmas for us. You're going to hear it the day before New Year's Eve, I guess. But boy, it has been a hell of a long year as we round out this year. In this episode, we're going to watch Spider-Man's triumphant return to the big screen in No Way Home, review a powerhouse graphics card that can make a beast out of your gaming PC, and play an updated version of a 1979 Atari arcade classic.
Cool.
Before we get into those topics and many more, though, it is time for a fourth listener email. And the fourth listener email this time around actually got to us by way of Apple Podcasts in the form of a review.
Awesome.
You went a long way around to get to the fact
that
was a
point.
Podcast review.
It is, right. Well, it kind of is. It's a really long review, which I loved, and there are a lot of points to talk about, so we're just going to highlight that as the review. This review left by Kaosian. Apologize if I misspelled your name. It's K-H-A-O, Kaosian.
I think it's Kaosian.
Kaosian? Maybe it's Kaosian.
That's what I'm guessing.
Oh, Kaosian. That makes sense.
Well, that could work. Put Kaos in there. All right, it's with a K, though. Anyway, the subject line is Gen X Grown Up, a real Thursday morning treat. Five stars.
Whoa.
Gentlemen.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
No wonder we're reading it.
Right. I actually read them all, whether they're five stars or not, but this one, in fact, is five stars. So here's what Kaosian, the K-Man, had to say.
The K-Man.
Throw a nickname out there. These guys really do mesh together and make for around a whole commute to work, about an hour every Thursday. I've been listening to these guys for almost 3 years now and finally decided to at least leave a review.
Awesome. Hey, that's cool.
We said a few episodes ago, it's never too late. A longtime listener who we talked to finally dropped a review like a month ago. So
it's
never too late.
It took me 3 years to figure out the Apple Podcast platform to leave a review anyway, so I don't blame
you. Yeah, it is a pain, yes.
No one would blame you for that, no. It goes on to say, I'm about as far away from them as I can be and still in the same country. I live in Alaska.
Holy cow. Yeah. Key West, maybe the only thing I can think of further, right?
Yeah, it's a different world.
Holy cow.
But the nostalgia this show brings on my commutes at least brightens my day every time. Not to mention how much money I've spent after listening to the reviews on products.
Mission accomplished.
Yep.
Yeah, we have that effect on people we have heard. Yep. Parenthetically, he says, I actually love my Creality printer, and I actually got a working Skytech PC.
Oh,
poor George.
Wow.
I think we're going to have the finale of that Skytech saga maybe in this episode. We're going to hear a little
bit. We'll see.
Something's happening.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. I need to find my way over to Patreon at some point, as I feel I owe it to them for the lighthearted entertainment they bring into my life. Well, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Being considered one of the essential workers throughout the pandemic made for some lonely drives into Anchorage. I can't thank these guys enough. Forever, that's F-O-U-R-ever, a fourth listener. And remember, these reviews are like addressed to people who might listen to the show. And so to that reader, he says, if you missed out on this one, then you owe it to yourself to go through the back catalog and hear some of these episodes. I definitely suggest the Dewey Decimal episode.
Oh, man.
Don't know what it is about that one, but
it was an odd one for sure.
It's going to go down in Gen X Grown Up history. If we ever do get super famous and red carpet walking and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. they're still going to be talking about Dewey Decimal System.
That'll be the one that wants to reenact for the motion picture.
Right? That's right. Yeah. Librarians across the country will love us.
Oh, yeah.
Do we not have an endorsement yet from the Library Association of America or something like that?
Is there one?
If there is, we should have an endorsement from them.
They thought about it, but then they heard the episode and then decided probably thought better of it. Yeah. What a absolutely generous review. Thank you.
That's awesome.
Chaosian. Awesome. Thank you so much for that review. Listen, hey, if you have not yet dropped a review, head over to Apple Podcasts or, you know, Stitcher or wherever it is that you listen. We sure would appreciate it. It helps other people find our show, tell them what you think about us, or you can drop us a line at podcast@genxgrownup.com. We read every single email, and most of them eventually make the show. All right. On this last regular show of 2021, we're going to get into it right after this break. Stick around.
You know, a lot can happen in 7 minutes, and luckily, that's how long it takes me to tell a story. My name is Aaron Calafato, and I'm the creator of 7 Minute Stories. I'm proud to partner with Evergreen Podcasts, and I'd like to invite you to join me on this journey. I'm going to take you on some crazy roller coaster rides using my unique extemporaneous storytelling style, and together, we're going to try to make sense of the world, all through the art of storytelling, and all in approximately 7 minutes.
Be sure to subscribe to or follow Gen X Grown Up wherever you listen. And while you're there, rate and review the show too. It helps more than you know.
As dawn's early light covers the sleeping Tempkins, a pasty film covers their mouths.
Morning!
They wake with the worst breath of the day.
Morning!
Scope anyone?
We'll use ours.
Mom, that leaves your breath medicine-y. Scope's minty.
Ours kills germs.
Scope kills germs.
No kidding.
Try.
Minty fresh.
And?
Kills germs.
Morning.
Fight bad breath with Scope. Now in lightweight, shatterproof plastic.
Let's get this last media segment of the year underway, talking about what we have been watching since we last spoke. Of course, it could be TV or film or movies or books or comics, or whatever it is. George, I want to start with you. This is something that may have actually resurrected the theater industry. Spider-Man No Way Home, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, I mean, I honestly don't know the numbers. I haven't paid attention to those, but I would guess from my experience that the numbers are fairly high on mm-hmm. this film.
I read it's like the second or third best.
Yeah,
it's like second just biggest. Behind Endgame or something. It was crazy. Yeah. Despite the pandemic.
Everybody was anticipating this film because of a lot of different things that came out over the last few months with the trailers and all the time rift stuff and the alternate universe, which is something that Marvel Universe hasn't done a lot of in their films yet. They haven't, you know, talked about the multiverse that often. So this is kind of the first real big foray into that.
Well, they're fixing that now because it's everywhere.
They are fixing it. Again, we're not going to give a whole lot of spoilers because we want you guys to be able to go and experience this movie on your own terms if you have. But I will say this was the first of these, I want to call them elongated movies. If you noticed lately, the 90-minute movie is kind of becoming a thing of the past. Movies are steadily becoming two-hour affairs on average. Mm-hmm. And this one was way further than that. Like, I think we were away from the house for over 3.5 hours. I don't know what the runtime is on the movie, but it felt like a 3-hour movie.
It was nearly 2.5. Yeah.
Yeah. It was 2.5 hours.
Almost 2.5.
Well, they did that with the James Bond film. They've done a lot like big feature pieces, the ones that are like cornerstones of, they absolutely said, I had to make a long edit. Yeah. And that's okay with me.
It is. Good. And this was the first one of those longer feature films that didn't make me feel like I was worn out at the end of it. Like when I went to see the James Bond movie, that 3 hours worth, I got done with that and I'm like, whew, I'm tired. I need to go home and rest. But this movie, the pacing was so strong in this movie. It moved, it flowed. Edits were beautiful. Cinematics, visuals, everything in this thing was gorgeous. I was like, at the end of the film, even the credits and walking all the way through the credit scene, which I will say one thing that's a little spoilerish. The second credit scene is less of a credit scene and more of a trailer.
Absolutely. It's just a trailer. It's a movie trailer.
I said the same thing.
Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's solidly good. I really enjoyed how they brought all these elements that we've seen in the trailers together. I'm not going to spoil who's in this mm-hmm. movie. We do know some of the people. You know Green Goblin is in it from the trailer. You mm-hmm. know okay. Sandman is in it from the trailer.
You know Doc Ock is there.
You know Electro is in it from the trailer.
Yeah, you know
yeah, but there are plenty of other appearances in this that make this movie special. To me, my favorite special guest appearance, unplanned, I had no idea it was coming, was within the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Was it?
I'm just going to say it was of legal origin. That's all I'm going to say.
Of legal origin. That's good. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was very cool. Yeah.
Especially because of what type of crossover that was. That was completely unexpected because that question has been out there in the Marvel Universe fandom mm-hmm. for years.
Oh, yeah.
When are we going to see these people?
Worlds merge, basically.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, and actually, there was a rumor, is he or isn't he? Let's say it that way, right?
Yeah.
And apparently, the actor came out and said that he wasn't in it. Actually, came out and lied.
Well, of course. Why wouldn't you say that?
You know, rather than being vague, he just said, nope. You know, but yeah, it was excellent. And I agree with you, George. I mean, for a long movie, it just went super fast. And
yeah,
mm-hmm. it was a very dense movie. Like, it was a lot going on, but I didn't feel overwhelmed.
It felt like an hour and a half film, but it was two and a half hours.
A lot of stuff packed into it. Yeah.
But just so much packed in by, like, sometimes those movies get so much packed in, you kind of feel like it's just too much. You know, it's mm-hmm. too much input at one time. But this one, I was like, wow, I followed the whole story. I was totally with it. It's actually, I think, my favorite of the Spider-Man movies for sure.
Yeah. There's no reason that it shouldn't be. I think it's mm-hmm. great. You know, I was thinking when I was watching it that it reminded me a little bit of our Dune discussion where we talked about to really enjoy that Dune film really helps if you knew about the Dune universe already because they don't spoon feed you stuff. And we were talking after this film about how much fun we had and how great it was. And I said, but it's not as great if you're a young person that has not been watching Spider-Man films for 20 years, because things that people in the audience cheered for, they're only cheering because they have history outside of the movie about mm-hmm. other movies in the series and previous series and stuff that really pay off. So I think it pays to have been a longtime invested Spider-Man film viewer. And this really is like a crowning achievement for all those films in so many ways that was so gratifying.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Although I will say my youngest son who went with me to the movie that we saw, because I have two other sons who were planning on going to the movie with me, but then they backed out because they wanted to go play video games. Anyway,
that's a whole other thing.
Understandable.
My youngest son who went, he doesn't have the history that you're talking about with the Spider-Man universe, so to say. Yeah. He only has the Marvel Cinematic Universe experiences, and that's still large. I was thinking about it the other day. This particular actor who's played Spider-Man has played him more in more movies than any other actor that's played Spider-Man mm-hmm. previously.
He has, yeah. Because he has his own films and then all the like the Marvel things that he has cameos in, right?
He has the two Avenger films plus the Captain America film. Mm-hmm. So he's got it six times.
All over the place.
And apparently I heard that he's contracted for a few more. So
this kid is doing a bang up job.
Oh, yeah.
But to your point earlier, John, my son who doesn't have those earlier Spider-Man history films in his belt, he was cheering and clapping right alongside because he had done some research ahead of time.
He knew just enough.
People will go on YouTube and Twitter or whatever, Twitter versus things they go on to find out information these days. He was right there with us as far as enjoying all the different things that popped up in this film.
That's good to know.
And also, I think there was so much hype. I mean, this movie was been hyped for like 2 years now, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been watching trailers and talk about it. I think at this point, everyone kind of figured that there was going to be a lot of crossover. So I would be surprised if people hadn't gone back and already watched those movies to prep for this, because I can't see how people could have missed that opportunity. But
right. I want to know the history of Otto Octavius. I want to know the history of the Green Goblin. I want to I want to know that stuff because they're coming back. It's like, oh, let me research and do this. So maybe that did pay off, knowing just enough trickling out there. It was great. So I think we've all seen it. But George, this is your pick for our media segment. I want to know, as strong as this movie was, where this hits on your rating scales, both token-wise and your AMC.
Sure. I mean, I want to preface it by saying the one thing that makes this movie so appealing to me is this is the first time that I actually liked all of the Spider-Man villains. I didn't like the Spider-Man villains, even these same actors that played these Spider-Man villains in most of those earlier films. I didn't feel like they were written very well. This film, I felt like every single Spider-Man villain that was in it hit the mark. And that's why I would absolutely give this on my AMC list, full price, Dolby Digital, whatever the most expensive right. ticket IMAX, you can go you grab. Go see it.
It's definitely worth it.
Yeah, for sure. On the token scale, a solid 4.5 tokens.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Got to take a little bit off for a couple of things here and there, but 4.5 is, I think, a fair rating number for it.
Nice.
That's awesome. Yeah. I would agree. It was super. I really enjoyed it. I can't wait to see it again. I might see it in the theater again.
Yeah.
It must be the first movie I see twice in the theater in, I can't remember the last time I saw something twice in the theater. It was Wreck-It Ralph, probably. It was the last thing I saw twice in the theater. So otherwise, you see it once and then it's on DVD or streaming or whatever.
But right.
Yeah. Really strong and a lot of fun. I can't remember the last time I was in a theater and people were cheering at the screen and clapping.
Same.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was very cool.
That tells you. So while we're at the theater, though, Mo, your pick also another sequel, also brand new in the theaters. What were you checking out?
Yeah, so I actually went and saw The Matrix Resurrections.
Lucky.
Yeah.
Looking I go to see it to tomorrow.
And again, no spoilers here at all, but I liked it. I was really worried because I love the Matrix films. You know, a lot of people panned on the second and third one. I liked them all.
I did too.
I thought the first was still the best one, you know, but I liked all three. It seemed like the story ended. They kind of lived a little open-ended. Like, okay, how are they going to do this? And I was trying to figure out where it's going to go. And I watched this movie. I was like, wow, I really enjoyed that. And it had that same kind of Matrix feel where like you see it once, you really enjoy it. But then you want to see it again because you want to catch stuff that you missed the first time. Because, you know, like unlike Spider-Man, there was a lot of stuff, like a lot of subtle stuff going on and a lot of like little symbolism and other things in the movie. So I really enjoyed it.
So I want to ask you a question, Mo, because I don't go to see this until tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But the ending of the third Matrix film was fairly definite as far as Neo is concerned.
Yes.
Right? What they did in this movie with the story as far as how they reintroduced Neo and all the other characters, did it make sense at least, or was it very contrived? Because that's my biggest fear with this film.
It actually made sense.
Okay.
It didn't feel it wasn't what I was expecting, which I kind of liked because I was like, oh, they're going to do a blah, 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 or you know, some crazy stuff. It was interesting, and I'm not going to say I 100% understood all of it, which is always why I want to see it again, because like the first movie, you know, I got a lot of it, and I was like, well, let me watch it again just to be sure. But when I was in the theater, I never felt like, oh, please, you know, like that whole like, oh, yeah, okay. He woke up in the shower, is all a dream. I get it. You know,
they didn't do the Bobby from Dallas.
Right. Exactly.
No. Right.
And also, I have to say one thing I just liked about this movie, and this is from a Gen X perspective, is that Keanu Reeves and the actress who plays Trinity's in it as well.
Carrie Ann Moss.
Carrie Ann Moss. Thank you. Mm-hmm. They aged well. Like they look like the way they should be as far as age wise. You know, they look kind of like our age.
Okay.
Which, you know, they didn't over like try to make them look super young or anything crazy like that. And I don't know. I guess the only reason why I'm thinking that is I see a lot of these, especially actors and actresses who are like getting all the work done to make themselves look super young again and went up in those Barbie doll faces and all that crazy and stuff. It's like, you know, I heard a review that said I loved every line in both of their faces as far as like, you know, that they actually aged and stuff. And they both, I think, have also come a long way as far as being better actors and stuff. It was a great movie. I really enjoyed it.
You know, the first films are really well known for the strides they took in the visual craft of filmmaking. You know, the bullet time thing, which they didn't invent, but they became famous for and used it well. Just the visuals that are so crazy and over the top. Did that play into this? Did they do anything groundbreaking? Is it more of the same? What, I mean, you're talking about the story and the characters. What about the visuals? The thing that I think of when I think of The Matrix.
Yeah, the visuals were, of course, great. See, okay, I don't want to give it away, but I will say that the things like the bullet time and stuff actually play into the story.
Okay, that's cool.
And so you have to watch it to figure out how.
Okay.
But all that stuff actually played into the story, was actually part of the story.
Okay.
It was like funny and interesting. I was like, that's kind of funny, you know, that they did it that way.
Cool.
But they did have some new stuff that they do in there, of course. Some new effects and some other things. But nothing I would say like groundbreaking like The Matrix was. Yeah, you know, like Matrix just like the whole special effects, that was a whole nother level, right? That changed movies going forward. I don't know if this will change movies going forward, but they did some really cool stuff.
I mean, if you have a film series and one of your films changes cinematic history, you're doing pretty good. So it's kind of hard to expect them to pull that off every time. So as long as it's a beautiful film, I know the Wachowskis were still involved in this. Mm-hmm. So that's always a positive when you have the original people still involved. As long as all of those elements are there, I think I'm going to be happy. And from what you're saying, Mo, it sounds like I'm going to enjoy the heck out of this thing tomorrow.
I think you will be.
Cool. What about a rating for Matrix Resurrections? What do you think?
Oh, rating? Because this is when, okay, they did that stupid thing where they released it on HBO Max and the theaters the same day.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that's a stupid business idea right there. They should give it a week in the theaters. Give it some time in the theater, you know, a week or two or something. That being said.
And how did you see it? You saw it in the theater,
I absolutely saw it in the theater.
Okay. All right.
I think you have to see this in the theater. And so I would rate this on the AMC scale. I would say it's a full price movie.
Okay.
I think it's totally worth it to go see in the theater to get that theater feeling. I saw it in IMAX, actually.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was the sound. I mean, because, you know, it's a visual movie and it's hard to get that on a smaller TV. So I definitely say it's a full price movie just for that reason. As far as our scale, I would probably give this 4 tokens instead of 4.5.
Okay.
You really liked it. All right.
Yeah, I liked it because, you know, it's not Spider-Man great. I really, really liked that movie. But The Matrix, like, again, this is when I may go back and see in a theater again.
Wow. There's another one. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right.
So that's what I got. So, you know, we got 2 big blockbuster movies. So, John, you can round us out with something cool.
It's not a big blockbuster movie, but it ought to be. I don't know if these are on your radar or not, but the guys over at South Park, Trey and Matt, made a deal with Paramount Plus to create some made-for-TV movies in the South Park universe.
Ah. Oh, really?
Keeping up on these?
No.
Okay, no.
These could be garbage. They had 2 of them out now. Let me say they're not garbage, but they're even more than not garbage. Something really crazy happened in the second one. So they're on their 2nd of their specials for Paramount Plus. They're both movies. They're like an hour long or so.
What was the first one?
The first one was called South Park Post-COVID, all right?
Okay.
And that's it. Remember, they had the episodes, they had the pandemic special. Yeah, that aired in South Park.
Pandemic special, so I've missed a South Park offering, is what you're
kind of riffing off of that. So they had a movie called South Park Post-COVID.
So I missed that.
And then a sequel that just came out called South Park Post-COVID, The Return of COVID.
Oh, jeez.
So
that's perfect.
So think about the South Park large thing. You had your Imagination Land, which is a 3-episode run. You had the Cartoon Wars. And, of course, you had the South Park Bigger, Longer, Uncut in the theaters. They've done some big, ambitious things with those South Park characters. And I've loved them all. And they did something here I never expected to see. I never thought I would see. It's not that it's super revolutionary, but I didn't think I would see it really happen in the South Park universe. So, yes, like always, they're playing off of what's going on in modern culture, right? So the pandemic is the big deal. They're talking about that naturally. NFTs are a big thing. NFTs work their way in there. Whatever's happening in the news, they have a great way of doing social commentary on it while poking fun, but also explaining it and making it very relatable. The first one of these that came out, the initial one on Paramount Plus, was pretty good. And the approach, there's no spoilers here. You can find this out in the trailer. The approach is they're all celebrating the end of COVID. Finally, it's over and finished. And they have, you know, snippets of newsreels, how everybody's getting back out and going to theaters again and everything. And then the spoiler is that it's actually like 30 years later that COVID is finally over. And all of the boys are grown up men now.
Ooh,
what?
What?
Yes. Yes. And they have all moved on in their lives. You find out what Stan has been doing and what Kyle has been doing. You won't believe what Cartman's new role in life is.
Oh,
and
Lord.
Kenny McCormick became just a rock star scientist and researcher. And he's recently passed away. And all the boys are coming back together in South Park.
Wait, he passed
around
away?
Around the death of their friend.
Oh.
Well, Kenny died. Duh, right? Well, there's no spoiler there.
Yeah.
And that was cute. It was kind of a cliffhanger at the end of the first one. So I was ready for the second one. That's cute. Looking forward to it. The sequel to this South Park Return of COVID thing is going to blow you away. If you love South Park, it's fun. If you enjoyed that first little film with the kids grown up, that's cool. The second one in this series is absolutely amazing. Remember how you talked about how Spider-Man No Way Home is kind of, even though it was long, it didn't feel long?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is maybe it's an hour 15 or something. It's a long cartoon, but it doesn't feel long because it's a nail biter all the way through. We're leaping back and forth in time. There's a science fiction movie going on in the middle of this. There's what happened. I'm not even going to talk. You see all the characters that you know, right? Like Token. He's now the token black policeman on the South Park PD. He's still a token, but he's a detective, right? And like everybody you know shows up in little roles. You know, Scott Malkinson shows up. What he's doing. Everyone you ever knew in the South Park world. But the fact that they've wrapped it, they turn this into a weird science fiction metaverse kind of back and forth in time. It's not a time travel, but you see things happen and how they affect them. And you'd said, George, did I miss some South Park? You did. And it's easy to miss if you don't have Paramount Plus. You're not aware of these things. But oh my
God. Well,
goodness.
And it sounds like it's definitely not part of the series. That's why my Sonar right. application didn't go and grab the episodes.
That's
so
right. Absolutely.
I've
got right.
to put them in radar because they're movies.
You got it. So neither of you have seen either of these, I'm
no,
guessing,
I haven't
right?
seen either one. Yeah. I didn't know they existed, to be honest.
Wow, is it good.
I'm a bit disappointed that you didn't tell us that they existed
yeah,
ahead of time.
He's the first one.
I'm doing it right now. I didn't get a chance to tell you about it. There's so many things. You're right. The first one was okay, and I wasn't out there, you know, running down the street saying, you got to see this, people. But after the second one, oh, yeah. You riff off of everything you knew about Tegrity Farms and all the stuff that his dad was doing with his weed business, and it all plays in. They must be genius writers or have a genius writing staff to fold all that stuff together in a way that made it all pay off. Like, were they planning this all along? I can't imagine, but my goodness, did they make it seem like they were planning it all along. It's such a good, good bit. So
wow.
If you have Paramount Plus, you should check it out. If you don't, you should seek it out. You know, get a trial, subscribe, whatever it takes. Yeah, the Star Trek is over if they like that stuff. But yeah, this South Park thing is pretty damn cool. You should definitely check it out.
Very cool.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Warriors in Their Own Words, a podcast that presents the unvarnished, unsanitized truth of what we have asked of those who defend this nation. As a country, we need these stories more than ever. Stories from Americans who have borne the battle, including 30-year-old remastered interviews with veterans from World War I recounting their time in the trenches of Europe, and with veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and from our most recent conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other battlefields Americans may never have heard of. Hear their stories by listening to Warriors in Their Own Words wherever you find podcasts.
Each episode of Gen X Grown Up has show notes loaded with links where you can learn more about our topics. And there's even more to see and hear over at GenXGrownUp.com.
Holy smokes, what is this?
It's a Pontiac Fiero GT.
Good night, I mean, what is that?
My new Firebird Trans Am.
Can you dig it?
Yes, I can, dude. Don't tell me you've got a Pontiac, too.
Sunbird Turbo.
Far out of sight.
Yeah, it's really fun to drive if you're into Pontiac.
Yeah, no problem. That's my Pontiac.
We build it, Sunbird Pontiac.
All right, I don't know about you guys, but I am so excited to find out, George, how your computer saga, epic journey, I don't know what to call it.
Yeah, I don't know what to call it either. Yeah, I have some choice words, but.
Are you there? Like, what's going on with that?
Well, I mean, there is a relative term, I guess. But, I think I'm pretty much at the end of all my trials and tribulations. I'll say that.
Okay.
I'm done with SkyTech. I'll tell you that much.
Okay.
So I sent off the video card as we talked about last time, and there was all this hubbub and all this crap about, oh, we have to hold it for 2 weeks while our team looks at it before we send you another one. And then, you know, of course, they're shipping it from wherever, and it's going to take 7 to 10 days or longer to get here. It was very frustrating. I finally did get it this past week.
Okay.
And the first thing I noticed as soon as I opened up the box, it was not the same video card that I had before, which kind of irritated me and pissed me off. And I'll tell you why. So these Radeon RX 6800 cards come in multiple configurations. Generally, I thought of video card multiple configurations as things like how much RAM it has on board or how many processing units it might have.
Yeah.
No, these things are configured differently in the ports on the back panel, the output ports.
Okay.
And that really is irritating for somebody who has no control over what card is being sent to them. Now, if I was buying this card on my own, you know, building my own PC, of course I would have control over which one I was getting.
Right. I want HDMI or I want DisplayPort or whatever.
Exactly.
Right? You choose.
Yeah. So the original card that I had that I've figured out now was from ASRock, and it was their Phantom Gaming version of the Radeon RX 6800.
Okay.
Okay.
They also apparently have another version called the Tachi X, and that's the one that I got this time. Difference between the two, the Phantom Gaming version has 3 display ports and 1 HDMI port.
Oh.
Plenty of configuration. You got 4 ports.
You have to have an adapter to put 2 monitors generally.
Yeah. Now, the second one also supports four outputs. However, the outputs are configured this way. I now have two display ports instead of three, one HDMI port, and one USB-C output port. I'm not happy with that because I don't know what I'm going to use USB-C video output for. Maybe there's something. I saw somebody on our Discord channel the other day talking about there's a way to go USB-C to USB-C for your Oculus gaming rig. Yeah. So maybe that's a thing that they're building this card for.
Okay. Yeah.
But what I was most frustrated by was that Skytech, they knew which card I had because I had sent it back to them.
Right.
They had built it originally and they didn't send me the same thing back, even though it's out there. And by the way, Skytech, according to Amazon, the original one that you gave me, the Phantom Gaming one, is cheaper than the one you sent me this time. So you could have saved yourself $200 or $300 and given me what I wanted, what I had originally. I've been happy.
I wonder if it was just not available. Or,
maybe they were thinking they gave you a more up-to-date one?
Maybe.
I say that
I
with a big
know.
Question mark. I mean,
right. Maybe they were trying to satisfy you because they knew you were upset. Let's give them the upgraded one, and then they accidentally upset you again.
Yeah. Well, and then there's the thing I think that I upset myself about, maybe unfairly, with this company. So there was no support in taking this card out or putting this card back in. Like, they didn't say, hey, let us schedule a session with you where one of our techs can walk you through what you need to do.
Right.
Because there were several differences with this card. And if I didn't have any previous PC building experience, this card would still be sitting on a shelf because, John, you know, with these video cards, they have multiple power inputs, right?
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the original card I had two power inputs and all the other power cables were tucked underneath these metal boxes inside the case to keep it looking clean.
Yeah.
Right. Well, the new video card has three power inputs.
Oh,
so you had to find the other cable
somewhere. I had to find the other cables. I had to take my whole case apart to get to those cables and unclip the zip ties and pull out the thing. And it worked. But had I not felt comfortable doing that, like if I'm just a young kid whose parents bought him a super nice PC and he doesn't have that building experience,
you're driving to Best Buy because you don't know what the heck you're doing, right? Or you're calling the company again or you're stuck. Yeah.
Yeah. And they made no effort on their part to say, here's what you're going to get. Here's a set of instructions, anything, nothing. So I don't know if that's my fault because maybe they're geared toward people who know how to build a PC.
Maybe they just knew how smart you were. That's what it was. I was giving you full credit.
Not at all true. But
let's go with that.
So I don't know if it's fair to blame them for that or if maybe I just didn't realize they're not trying to approach the wider audience. They're just narrowly targeted at people who are comfortable with working inside a PC.
I don't know. I think they should have given some instructions on that, especially if it's a different card than what you had.
Yeah.
I think it's negligent of them not to at least make you aware that, hey, you'll need an extra, you know, pull this extra power cable out when you install it or something, you know?
Whether they think you have the aptitude or not, instructions are a standard part of any kind of kind of support, right? Because if you don't give them instructions, they do it wrong, you have no one to blame but yourself. So,
yeah. And I could have easily just plugged up the two power inputs that I had.
It doesn't work.
And powered it on and fried it. You know, I don't know what would happen.
Or you said, it doesn't work again. And you call them and go through the whole thing again, right?
The whole thing. Yeah.
So I'm disappointed in Skytech, obviously. I won't buy from them ever again that I can think of, at least just because of the poor customer experience.
I don't blame you.
But the PC itself, the parts, now that I have a working video card again, they are solid. Last night, I was playing Red Dead Redemption 2, which, John, to go back several episodes, was the second game I bought that time that I couldn't remember.
Oh, you couldn't remember the second game you bought. It was Red Dead. Okay, got it.
So I was playing Red Dead.
That's a deep cut. Payoff, you know, episodes later. That's great.
I keep everything on track. So I was playing that last night. It was beautiful. Played it for, I don't know, an hour and a half or so.
Highest settings, I assume.
Highest settings. Yeah, just enjoyed the crap out of it. And it was the first time in, I don't know, 6 months or more that I've sat down and played a video game of that caliber and enjoyed it and felt like everything was working well together to allow me to enjoy that game.
Well, good. I'm glad you finally got there.
This is like an $1,800 card if you just buy it retail. It's crazy expensive. But really? I looked,
holy right? cow.
Something like that?
Yeah. Yeah. So nuts. I gave you a couple of links there, Mo. One for the Tachi X version and one for the Phantom Gaming version. So that way you can offer both to our listeners. The Phantom Gaming version, you can find it out there on Amazon even for like $1,500. So it's $200 or $300 cheaper than the Tachi X. So it really just depends. And I looked, I found a website that compared both those two cards together. And the only reason that the Phantom Gaming was rated slightly higher was the ports on the back. Everything else was exactly the same.
It had the USB-C. Okay. Wow.
So maybe here at the end of the year, a ending? Happy ending?
It's Christmas decent miracle, ending, at least. Definitely Christmas miracle and Christmas present that I enjoy,
Christmas
for
miracle.
Sure.
There we go.
God bless us, everyone.
That's right.
Thank you, Tim.
Well, John, I don't know if your next object is tiny or if it's large or if it's expensive or cheap, but I'm kind of interested to find out what you want to talk about this week.
Sure. So not too long ago, we did our backtrack all about Batman 66, we mm-hmm. really enjoyed. We got good response from our audience. Over on Facebook, several people that follow us there, one of the guys that follows us pretty regularly, he got really into Batman 66. Like, he knew it, but then he started posting memes about it and remembering all the different things we talked about. It was really great to see us kind of spark this memory. And then one of the things he shared and he tagged me in, he said, you should check this out. And I'm like, I don't know. What is it? So there's a company called Penmates. Not familiar with the company before.
No.
But they put out this classic TV series Batmobile, which is classic meaning the 66 Batman, right? We all enjoy Batman 66. I'm not a particularly big Batman fan or even a comic book fan for that matter, as you know. I like it casually, but I don't collect memorabilia or anything. As much as we like Batman 66, even that might not have put me over the top. But I did go and look this thing up. We'll put a link in the show notes. It's made by this company called Penmates. They're called that because remember the Fisher-Price little people? Like the wooden people?
Yeah, those
cylinder dudes. Plastic, yes.
Like Playmobil and stuff.
Right. Yeah. And they were called pins because they were actually modeled after clothespin dolls that people used to make during the Depression for their kids.
So they were called
clothespin dolls, but they were actually molded out of wood. What Penmates as a company is doing is they're buying up, think like pop vinyl, buying up all these, the rights to all these IPs and putting out these pop vinyls. Penmates are making little wooden toys just like those Fisher-Price clothespin toys.
Oh.
And this set is a wooden toy, not plastic, not metal, heat shrunk. Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
So what you get in this thing, in this box, is a wooden Batmobile, limited 900 pieces in this limited edition, apparently. A little people, Penmates, Batman, and Robin.
Okay, that by itself is worth it.
The Batman especially. He has like the white painted on eyebrows we talked about.
Oh, yeah.
He has like a blue frame around his nose. By itself, a cute collectible that I thought I would buy and then maybe give away or eBay or something. Now I think I'm going to keep it. The box even has a play set that you make out of the box. It has a bat pole they can slide down, little hole in the box. It has the wall that drops down so you can drive the Batmobile out the side of the box.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I did a quick video of this over on our YouTube channel. I'll give you, Mo, a link to throw down in the show notes and look at it. It's a simple little toy. I think it was only like $22. It was not a big deal. And then I found out they were limited. So on the heels of that Batman 66, if you are a Batman fan or just a Batman 66 fan in general, what a cute little collectible that's not run of the mill. That's not, you know, another t-shirt or another pop vinyl or whatever. You take a look at the video. In fact, see what you think. Even for somebody that's not a Batman fan, it was a pretty neat addition to the collection. So I enjoyed picking it up.
Yeah, I just added it to my Amazon cart, so I'm screwed.
Yeah, I'm just curious what else they have then. If they're buying all this IP to do other stuff.
They have tons of stuff. Yeah, well, they have the whole Super Friends collection that they can do.
Oh,
you can
really?
Buy them individually.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, which Super? With the Wonder Twins or with the...
Like, meanwhile, like the cartoon Super Friends, they have those style costumes. Yeah. They're buying up lots of IPs and making these cute little figures to collect.
Wow.
Yeah, I feel a rabbit hole that's going to fill up another like ton.
That's what happened to me. It was a listener that sent me down a rabbit hole.
It goes in my closet because I'm never going to have room to display all this stuff.
So is this like listener revenge or something?
Yeah. So you should check it out. Check the video. Check out the link. See what you think. Mo, what about you?
Oh, right.
So you just took a vacation. Is this some tech that came out of your vacation? What's
it
going
totally
on?
It totally is.
Okay.
These days, you know, with COVID, Omicron, you know, all that stuff going on.
Ooh.
And talk about the whole post, you know, I guess this is in line with your whole South Park part thing. Yeah. In order for me to come back into the country, this is weird, I had to take a COVID test.
Really?
That's fair.
Yeah. But I was kind of curious, like, how do they expect me to do it? They expect me to go to a pharmacy? And
like go to a clinic or pharmacy or whatever.
Guatemala, right? Yeah. Go to a clinic. No, there's a at-home personal test you can bring with you. And I was, again, I was like trying to figure out how this worked, is that you get this app for your phone and it has a two-way video with somebody watching you take the test.
Huh.
To make sure that you don't cheat it, that you do everything properly. There's some QR codes you scan and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then like when you do your test, you have to, you know, you show them that. And then it takes 15 minutes to get results, but your camera has been pointing at your test for the entire 15 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. And then they tell you to come back in like 14 minutes. And let me tell you, that is the most stressful 15 minutes because
am I going to get to go home?
If you don't pass a test, you're quarantined for 10 days, not in the United States.
And so you had to do that from the other country, you're saying?
Yeah, you're quarantined. The United States will not let you in for 10 days.
And I'm guessing you have to wait till the day of your flight or something to do this?
The day before.
The day before.
Yep, and that's recent. It used to be 72 hours before you could do the test, but now you have to do it the day before. And they give you some leeway on it, like, because our flight was a Monday afternoon. And we did it like Sunday morning. For as soon as we got up, I'm like, we got to do this as soon as possible to minimize any chance.
Right.
But yeah, it's the whole cotton swab, scratching your brain. You got to do it yourself. And they watch to make sure you do that.
Wow.
So you were sitting in Guatemala, ready to come home the next day.
Yep. Waiting for the results of this test.
So where did you get this test? Is it something they shipped to you or is that your tech? What's the thing?
Some different sites will sell it. We got this one from emed.com.
Okay.
And it's called Binex Now. I think it's just a brand name or something.
Okay.
And you could buy like a six pack for like $150 for six tests.
Well,
but that includes like you'll find cheaper tests on Amazon. But what that includes is the whole somebody monitoring you, make sure you do the test right. Like their tests are sanctioned.
You're prepaying for the person that's going to have to assist you.
And is this the test like that the government says you have to take this one?
It's one of.
Okay. So they have a couple of different choices.
Yeah, they have a couple of this one, but this is one of the authorized tests.
What if you don't need six tests? What if you only need one test because you're just by yourself? Do they have a one test option?
I don't know. I went to the site just before the show just to check. And right now you can only buy it in a six pack and there's a waiting list because of all the...
Waiting list.
Yeah. Like they don't have enough tests right now. So I think it's like 4 weeks now to even get one.
Is there an expiration on the test? Like, can you buy it way in advance of a trip so that way you can mitigate the waiting list?
I think they last like a year or so. You can definitely get it ahead of time.
Because I've got to get one now for my wife. She's got a ticket that she's been sitting on to go back to the Philippines. She's been sitting on it for 2 years because of all the regulations and rules.
Oh, sure.
Now knowing this, I'm like, okay, honey, we got to spend $150 because you got to have a test in order to get back into the country.
Hey, apparently. Mo might have a spare one he didn't need out of his six pack. You check with him. He cut you a deal.
Yeah.
Mo's going to start selling his COVID tests on eBay.
Aftermarket COVID tests from Mo. COVID.
Guarantee pass. You know? But they actually have a seal on them. You have to show them the seal. Then you break the seal. I mean, so that's what you're really paying for. And the thing that's interesting is that the technology now, like without phones and all that, the technology we have today, I'm not sure how this would
work. You couldn't do that.
Yeah, no, we couldn't do this because they send you like a QR code. And when I went to the airport, that's where I showed them. And they scanned the QR code. It brought up my results. And like, okay, you're good to go.
Yep.
So the QR code was your results that you had to show to the airline.
Yes.
Wow.
And they asked me for it. They said, do you have your results of your COVID test? I'm like, here you go. You know?
Man.
This would almost have been an outdated tech toy, except for Omicron now, which case it's a fresh new tech toy.
It's not a whole brand new thing. People care about it.
It's something new.
But I have to say, like the process of doing it, all that stuff, it was as painless, I guess, as you can make it. I mean, you can only make it so painless, right? You are sticking a cotton swab through your head. And the test was pretty simple, but you know, it did work. And I was able to come home, so I
got. And you got to come home. All right. Well, that's good news, at least.
Yeah. So it was interesting.
All right. Stick around. When we get back, we're getting into some games.
I'm Allison Holland, host of the Kennedy Dynasty podcast. Equipped with a microphone and a long-term fascination of the Kennedy family, I am joined by an incredible cast of experts, friends, and guests to take you on a fun, relaxed, yet informative journey through history and pop culture. From book references to fashion to philanthropy to our modern expectations of the presidency itself, you'll see that there is so much more to Kennedy than just JFK or conspiracy theories. Join me for the Kennedy Dynasty podcast.
You're listening to Gen X Grown Up. But if you have a friend who's not yet listening, why not? Tell them about us. They'll thank you later.
How do you prepare for trigonometry, the French Revolution, and Moby Dick all in the same morning? have a Thomas's English Muffin. Thomas's taste delicious, wholesome. They're light enough to keep you moving, yet give you just what you need to make it through the morning. Of course, it wouldn't hurt to hit the books, too. Thomas's English Muffins. Every day should start out this good.
This is the main event of the podcast. For the three in attendance locally and the millions listening around the world, ladies and gentlemen, it's time!
I am extremely hyped because I can finally play video games again.
Woo! Yay! About time.
You can play good video games again.
Right, I can play good video games again.
Not just 2D indie games.
Not just off a USB-C video card thing. Yeah. So it's that time of year. We talked about it a few episodes ago. Steam seems to have these seasonal sales that they do. They must have four of them a year because I now know of at least three, and I can't imagine they would leave the fourth one out. But the one that's going on right now, as you're listening to this episode, if you're listening to it on day one of our drop, is the Steam Winter Sale.
Oh,
it's going on until January 5th.
Oh, so still time.
Oh, yeah, a little
There's
time.
There's still several days that you can go in there and jump and enjoy some stuff. If you have things on a wish list, you've probably already been getting emails from Steam saying, hey, your thing just dropped in price. Come spend some money with us. And there are a ton of games, way too many to mention. There are whole gaming companies that have all their games on sale, all the way down to big ticket AAA titles that just have one. Like, I know some of our listeners are big into the sports ones. So the Madden game, the 2022 one, that one's on sale for like 40% off, I think, or something like that.
Nice. Yep.
The Red Dead Redemption that I was talking about earlier, that thing's on sale still. Deathloop is on sale again. There are just a ton of games out there. What's the Left for Dead new?
Back for Blood.
That one's on sale again. Almost everything in my wish list is on sale right now.
Wow.
Have you pulled the trigger on anything yet?
The hardest part is that I'm broke and I can't afford to buy.
Oh no! So you haven't pulled the trigger on anything?
So
yet.
I haven't.
No.
Yeah. But if you want a good sale, I think this is the best one going until January 5th.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the winter sale always seems like the biggest one. And maybe it's because I'm off work and I pay more attention to it. But it seems like lots and lots of really big stuff on sale rather than just smaller stuff. You're right. I saw huge franchises, you know, companies putting their whole portfolio on sale. That's dangerous.
Yeah. Well, and I think the winter and the summer are the two biggest sales that they do each year. And I wonder if it's not because games are mostly targeted toward a younger audience who may be in school, and those are two times of the year when they're not in school. So maybe that's why those are their two biggest sales, but they've got quite a bit out there. I don't think you'll have a hard time finding something that you'll enjoy for a steeply discounted price. Everything seems to be at least 30% off.
I've been browsing.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm going to buy like games I probably never play or forget I have, or because it's just too good a deal not to get it.
Right.
Exactly. But you got them so cheap, Mo.
I know. I'm saving money, I guess.
That's right. I can't not buy it. I'll be losing money if I don't buy it.
Exactly. That's the rationale.
Yep. Yeah. If you're a person who games on a PC, because if you're on Xbox or PlayStation, this is not the sale for you.
No. It's not going to help you.
Yeah. But I primarily game on PC, and that's where I look for most of my purchases. So this Steam Winter Sale, I don't think you can make a mistake by finding something on there that you've been wanting to try. Now you can try it for 30% off or 40% off. Or there's even some games down there that are under $1.
Yeah. Jeez.
This started out at 10 or more. Yeah, they did crush them down to 70, 80, 90% off. I've seen some. Yeah, it's great.
But I have not been playing a game other than Red Dead Redemption 2, which I talked about earlier. John, however, has been playing a game, and I think you've even done some reviews on it.
I did, indeed. Well, so Atari has many titles on sale on the Steam Winter Sale, in fact. This is the fourth game in a series that Atari has done. This one not yet on sale. It's still full price, which is only $10. But they started like 2 years ago doing this Recharged series. You remember they did Missile Command Recharged. Mm-hmm. And then earlier in this year, they did Centipede. Then around Halloween time, they did Black Widow, that vector game. All three of those that I just mentioned are on sale. But what I want to talk about is the latest one I picked up, and spoiler alert, probably the best one of the series so far, and that's Asteroids Recharged.
Oh, I love the original Asteroids, so I'm curious what they did to this to make it better.
So, you know... I'm going to stop at saying it's better than the original Asteroids. You know, that's like saying, you know, the Ghostbusters Afterlife was better than the original Ghostbusters. No, no, you're not going to do better than that. You just want to do something that does the original service and does something interesting with it.
Okay.
And I think that's what they did. They didn't do with all the Recharge titles necessarily, but with the Asteroids. So the initial Asteroids is a pretty stark game. Came out in 1979. There's not a lot of gaming whiz-bangery you could do into a game. So you have a ship that rotates, you can shoot. You have a bunch of rocks and you have UFOs every once in a while. And that's pretty much it. So it was a pretty blank canvas to work with for this reimagining. Well, what they do at Atari is they've licensed a couple of developers, Atom Vision and Sneaky Box, to do the development for them. And they just, they have oversight. And generally what they do is they make it all vectory and look like it's neon, and they add power-ups. So you can, I remember Centipede, you could grab something that would let you shoot faster or would let you put everything in slow motion or whatever. And so this is Asteroids in that same environment where you have, you still have asteroids floating out there. They've added extra large asteroids that are like a quarter of the screen in size. They're enormous.
And
they smash down littler things. And you have power-ups that are kind of the big differentiator, whereas, you know, you get one where you can shoot fast, or bullets come out of the front and sides of your ship, or you have exploding bombs that when they blow up, turn into a little vortex that sucks in rocks, all kinds of creative power-ups. The real difference here from a standpoint is it is a high score race, but like the last couple of titles, you get one ship to get your very best possible score with. When you die, you die.
Ooh.
That's it.
Ooh.
Which makes the co-op of this game even better, because they have a couch co-op, which isn't online co-op, but you can play over the internet using Parsec. We've talked about several times on this show.
Yeah.
Right.
And I have. And that's the best way to play this, because though you only have one life at a time, if you die, a new power-up comes into play. If you can survive long enough and grab it, it'll bring your friend back to life and you can continue to fight and fight and fight.
Okay.
Yeah. And so with the additional asteroids, with the additional types of UFOs and way that they shoot at you, with the additional power-ups, and on top of that, just the way that they have respected the source material of this one more than they did in the other ones, I think, because it just feels more like the original. It feels like Asteroids. Definitely. I gave it a video review, as you said, George, and we'll put a link to it over on over in the show notes so you can go and look at the review. But I rated it the highest I've rated any of these so far. I love the Recharge series.
Oh, fantastic.
So of the Recharge series, then, I was going to ask the question, which one is your favorite? It sounds like this is head and shoulders above the rest.
I think it is. I think the first one was my favorite. Missile Command, I think, was awesome. But it was kind of a mobile game. And when they moved it to consoles and stuff, it wasn't as cool because it was designed for touch. And the other ones had little problems. Centipede had the control problem. Black Widow was fine. It just wasn't a favorite of mine. So I wasn't as interested. But this one for sure is the best of the series so far. And it's at $10, if you're an Asteroids fan, you'll get Asteroids fun out of this, which I think is the important thing. That's the secret sauce.
Sure.
Can I get Asteroids fun? And you can.
Nice.
Well, hey, podcast listener. My name is Vince, and I'm the host of a show called The RR Show. It stands for Reddit Readings. We're going to sit down twice a week, and I'm going to bring you the most entertaining stories from all of the best subreddits that exist online. Things like malicious compliance, petty revenge, hey, lady, I don't work here. Oh, there's so much more. Lots of great stories and things you won't believe. Like the one time this dude was caught in a bathroom with his friend and he was slapping them because that was the only way that he could actually legitimately help them. A mall cop comes in with a taser. Oh, yeah. The rest is history. It's going to be fun. There is, I don't know. I got like 20 seconds left, so I don't got much more time to tell you another story. But just join me on The RR Show. It's from Evergreen Podcast, produced in partnership with Wessler Media. So The RR Show, wherever you get podcasts, subscribe today. And it's like an adult story time. Let's hang out together. The RR Show. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're a diehard Gen X grown-up, you can pledge your support by clicking join on YouTube or by becoming a patron at genxgrownup.com/patreon.
Everyone knows Vandy Camps has a line on fresh-tasting fish. With our light fillets. Our breaded and batter-dipped fish. And today's catch fillets. They all taste fresh because they're frozen fresh. And you'll taste it in every bite once you catch them.
Did you get the Vandy Camps fish?
I think they're getting tired.
Fandy Camps, the freshest ideas in frozen fish.
Before we wind it up for episode 114, you know, we always like to take just a couple of seconds here toward the end to talk about the things we're looking at now or looking forward to between now and the next time we get together. Of course, Christmas is tomorrow for us recording, just in the past for you. New Year's is here, but lots of stuff on the horizon that we're looking at. Mo, what about you? What do you got coming up?
I mean, first, you know, obviously I think we all are spending time with our family, enjoying that, the Christmas spirit and the time.
Okay.
I have to say, I throw it out there, right? I had to throw it out there. It's contractual. The other thing is a break from work. We're shut down. I think all of us have a next some time off from work coming up or already on, which I really need, so I'm definitely looking forward to that. But on a more practical note, what I'm really looking forward to is the Book of Boba Fett coming out December 29th. So it should be out by the time this drops, actually. It should be
out. Is that Disney Plus again, right?
Disney Plus. Series?
Yeah, okay.
From the last episode of The Mandalorian, where they introduced Boba Fett, I am so looking forward to that thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it just looks like it's going to be damn cool.
Well, and it's by the same team that does The Mandalorian, so you know it's probably going to be freaking awesome.
Oh, yeah, quality. For sure. Yep. I mean, I still, to this day, like that end scene when you see Boba Fett sitting on like the throne.
On Jabba's throne, yeah.
Yeah, with the girl like next to her with drinking the blue liquor with the gun. I'm like, I want that poster. That is, that looks freaking amazing. And so that's what I'm really, really looking forward to. So how about you, John? What you got looking forward to?
Yeah, so a lot of Star Trek I mentioned on Paramount+. Star Trek Discovery is going into a hiatus mid-season, but the return of Prodigy is coming at the same time.
Okay.
January 6th. So we talked a little bit about Prodigy, which is the Nickelodeon Studios made for kids Star Trek, the holographic Janeway and stuff. It was a slow start. I initially said, I'm not sure if I like it or not. I think I like it. I'm not a super fan of it, but enjoying it. But they finally explained what's going on with the ship and what its superpower is and what's really cool and why it's called what it's called. And then they ended. No more episodes. Like, what's going on? Well, they took a break, but it's coming back January 6th. So more Star Trek Prodigy right around the corner. You mentioned time off. I get to go on a tradition that I haven't had for years. I used to always, when my daughter was, you know, 10, 11, 12 for a long time, every year between Christmas and New Year's, we'd take this daddy-daughter vacation to somewhere, to Boston or Manhattan or Chicago.
Alaska, actually, didn't you?
Like, went to Anchorage one time. Yeah. That's right. And we haven't done that in years. A, because she's a grown ass person with responsibilities, and B, the pandemic. But despite the surge, we do have, assuming they don't get canceled, we do have travel plans to make another daddy daughter trip. We haven't done it in like 4 years, so I'm really excited to do that.
Nice.
On the media front, the return of another goofy series that I love. Back in the early 2000s, there was a kind of a mockumentary series called Reno 911.
Oh, yeah.
That was Thomas Lennon and a lot of comics, comedians. It was kind of like a semi-incompetent sheriff's department. Well, they have a new film that just released. I haven't got to watch it yet, but it's called Reno 911, The Hunt for QAnon.
No.
Oh, my God. Pulling right out of the headlines, they're seeking the mysterious Q who's in charge of all these conspiracies. It's just an excuse for more sketch comedy from these comic geniuses that are great and these characters again. So, yeah, I'm eager to see that. That's probably going to watch that on the plane, in fact, when I'm done editing the podcast. So.
Nice.
Yep, Reno 911 is back. George, how about you? What's coming up?
Well, I think it's a recurring theme. You know, we're all on break, so I'm looking forward to recharging my batteries, and I don't mean in a computer or a calculator or anything like that. I mean my personal batteries. I've been experimenting with something that our listeners might have heard in our commercials, and I'll give a full review of it when I'm done with the whole process, but it's been really helping a lot with that recharging my batteries thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm looking forward to finally getting back to doing some writing during this break and getting back into it. I've kind of finished off some work projects, or at least gotten them to a point where I don't give a shit anymore. And so I can, can go back to my personal life.
Wasn't that how you felt at the beginning too, though? I mean, you really didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
It's come full circle.
Full circle.
So that and playing some games. But the thing I'm looking most forward to is the thing I've been looking forward to for the last two episodes, Cobra Kai Season 4, December 31st, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it here first, third, second, whatever. I am super looking forward to the series. I know we all are enjoying the series, so I'm sure that Mo and John are looking forward to it as well. I just get to claim dibs on it every time we talk about it, which
that's okay.
In the next episode,
it's all yours,
I will
man.
Definitely be talking about it. And I'm just going to warn you now, I'm not going to worry about spoilers, so you guys need to get out there and watch it.
If you're
playing on it, because I'm going to be talking about this storyline, because I won't be able to stop myself New Year's Eve, I will watch every single episode, maybe twice.
Happy New Year.
Shut up.
Wow. Exactly.
Be quiet.
I don't care about Dick Clark. Isn't he dead? I'm
Get
watching
that champagne
Cobra Kai.
Away from me. I'm watching Cobra Kai. Stop it. Very cool. A lot of great stuff. A lot of chance to relax a little bit here at the end of the year going into 2022. God knows what 2022 is going to bring. So we need to be ready for it. That is going to wrap it up for this episode of the show. Don't worry, we'll be back in 2 weeks with another one. But next week is our backtrack episode where we pick a single nostalgic topic and dig in deep. We have had a lot of requests from a lot of folks over on Discord saying, why have you guys not covered anything about the wrestling scene growing up in Gen X?
Well, there's a reason, right?
There is a reason, because I don't know shit about the wrestling scene. Do you, Mo, know much about
it? No, I know shit
about
it.
Very little. Well, Mo, listener, you're in luck, because George does not have that problem. He is an expert on the wrestling scene. What is coming up on the Backtrack next week, George?
Yeah, on the Backtrack next week, we're going to talk about one of the most controversial times of the modern era of the wrestling genre, and that is the Monday Night Wrestling Wars. Two major powerhouse companies in the mid-90s got together to go after ratings by going back and forth behind the scenes in front of the camera. They broke kayfabe. They did all this crazy stuff. And we're going to talk all about it next week. It's going to be a blast. I've been looking forward to doing a wrestling episode. And I think this one is a great one to start with.
Wow.
I think I'm going to be educated.
I'm excited. It's outside of my comfort zone, and we're going to rely on George. He is going to bring his expertise and decades of paying attention to the wrestling world. So if you've been looking for it, some wrestling coming up with the Backtrack next week. So you, like Mo and I, do not want to miss that one.
For sure.
So we'll see you then. Until then, I am John. George, thank you so much for being here, man.
Yes, sir.
Mo, you know I appreciate you.
Oh, man, always fun.
Fourth listener, though, it's you we all appreciate most of all, and we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Take care, everybody.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown-up?
Gen X Grown-Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com.
No more washing shows till sunrise. Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Oh, he skipped the word Atari?
He did.
Oh, did I? Did I really?
Yeah.
My name is Cindy Burnett, and each week I interview at least two traditionally published authors on my podcast, Thoughts from a Page. We talk spoiler-free about their books, so you can listen whether you have read the book or not. And then we delve into things that you most likely won't hear about anywhere else. The importance of the cover design, why they included various aspects of the story, personal details about both the books and the authors' lives, and so much more. You can find the podcast on every major platform and learn more about it on my website, thoughtsfromapage.com. Thanks so much for checking it out.